We want to be happy. We want to be prosperous. We want to do all the great things that the Word says. Well, if you want to see all the Word of God come to pass in your life, you've got to learn the laws. No, I'm not talking about the Mosaic laws. That's where the church gets it all wrong. I want you to learn the spiritual laws. Now, in the Old Testament, they couldn't see these things. Oh, they existed. The law of gravity worked back then. The law of prosperity worked back then. They just saw some of the surface things. So as far as they were concerned, everything was great with having over 900 Mosaic laws to follow. But that all ended with Christ. Now what's man supposed to do? He's supposed to learn the spiritual laws. And when I teach and when others teach here, you should be able to pick those things out. And it's always a kind of thing like, if you do this, then this is going to happen. That's the spiritual side. You've got the Spirit in you, God in Christ in you. And in Ephesians it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. The eyes meaning two, in the Gospels, the Old Testament, it says, if thine eye be single. They only had one eye, and if you cover up one eye and you go reach for something, you can see immediately that you have no depth perception. But when you have both eyes, oh yeah, that's 8 inches away. You can tell. Okay? So, what you want to do is learn the spiritual laws. Now, as you hear teachings, pick them out and start to live by them. Guide your life by the spiritual laws God's embedded under His Word. You can just take the word surface value, too. But if you really want to grow, if you really want to become who you are in Christ, get spiritual. And I want you to get spiritual. I want you to lift yourselves up out of the world. I want you to stop being worldly. I want you to stop embracing all the world. Hey, go have fun, but be spiritual. Be spiritually minded. You don't need to be unhappy and depressed and all that kind of stuff. Let the people in the world do that. You need to live the more than abundant life at all costs. Because the price was paid. So, live it. Grab it. Embrace it for you. Okay. There's my pep talk. Now, back to the teaching I previously taught on sorrow, handling sorrow. I started with Genesis chapter 3, and I'm going to read that to you again. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. And I would like to say that there's a lot of stuff I want to cover in this teaching, and I'm really going to try to get through it all. But have patience, because it all needs to be done as one unit. Okay. Genesis chapter 3. Unto the woman, verse 16, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow, labor, thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And what we learned is that sorrow and labor go hand in hand, and it was placed on mankind through the woman, but now everybody has to deal with it. So when you're brought forth into the world, you're brought forth in pain, and then you have to start dealing with your pain. You see, it's transferred. And so there's sorrow and there's labor. And they go hand in hand. The first part of the teaching was sorrow. Today it's going to be on labor. How many of you think you can get away from working? Oh, good. Nobody raised their hand. Because you can't. It's not possible. I wanted to show you that in Genesis, the premise of the last teaching and this teaching, just to tie them together. But I'd like you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. The only break, and really there's two sides of this. You see, it's kind of hard to teach out of the New Testament if I don't lay the proper spiritual groundwork for the New Testament. Because I can tell you what the Old Testament says, but it's not spiritual stuff. You have to go to the New Testament to get the spiritual stuff. And they just run like two horses in parallel down the track. But they're totally separate. And so if you're really going to get into this stuff, I guess I better lay this groundwork. I had a really great conversation recently with a friend of mine. And it regarded talking to somebody about a certain problem. And this one person has an extreme amount of passion to help the other person with their problem. Now, is that really a problem that this person has, or is it something that he should be allowed to live with? And this is how I presented it to this guy that wanted to help this other person. And I said, you know, and we went back and forth in the Bible, you know, you got the Gospels, which is Old Testament, and you got the New Testament part from Acts on. And we started talking about things that offend, things that hurt and all that. And I says, I'll be real honest with you. You know, if you want to get somebody to stop doing this or stop doing that, and you want to use the New Testament for it, you're very limited. I says, the only offensive thing that it really focuses on is eating meat. Not if you can eat it or not, but when you eat it and where you eat it. But if you want to get this person to stop this or stop that, and you're saying because it offends you or it might offend their family or whatever, you better be careful. But what about in the Old Testament? Well, Gospels, he said, I says, well, you mean the Old Testament. You know, if I offend the, well, it's the right eye, then pluck it out, okay? I said, no. That's Jewish. You're not a Jew. Anyway, we went back and forth. The point I'm trying to make is that you have these two horses running down the track, and you've got the five senses view, and then you've got the spiritual view. You've got to look for both. And this comes up in this labor thing. It's so important. So I can't say the only break we're promised in the Word from labor is the seventh day, because that's Old Testament law. And we are given a rest through Christ. So the five senses rest was take a day off. The New Testament rest has nothing to do with taking a day off. You want to take a day off? Take a day off. It has all to do with the spiritual side. Right? Sure. There's the two horses galloping down. You make sure you're on the right horse when you're talking about this or taking your stand or, you know, being the martus, the witness, okay? Well, that's up to you. Well, here's the thing. Work's always going to be out there, and we're talking about work now, labor. It's always going to be there, and my opinion, yeah, you should take a break when you can, otherwise your body's going to hurt. But in the meantime, work, it's up to you, though, when you want to take a break. And in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 13, it says, and he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon two tables of stone, and the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments that you might do them in the land whither you go over to possess it. And there they were, the Ten Commandments. And so they weren't allowed to work on the Sabbath. All right, turn to Psalm 128. I want to tell you folks that work is not supposed to be a terrible experience, but I'm not going to laud work, because work, as Eve designed it. There's a whole lot in that, by the way. Eve designed it. She didn't design it. She caused it. But work as Eve designed it isn't supposed to be a terrible experience. I mean, God did put rules in place, boundaries around it, so that it wouldn't just kill you. God made you to work, and he made it so that you can enjoy the rewards of your labor. Psalm 128, 1. A song of degrees. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of her house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Sometimes I get a little guff from my wife, like Jose asked her to manifest prophecy today, and she looked at him and she goes, who? And that's what she does every time I tell her to go mow the yard or to go clean the garage. Who? Just kidding. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine. You know, there was a movie on last night, and it was just a glimpse that I saw. I think Jeremy saw it, and the girls weren't in there by that time. But it was really funny because it was all these couples, these married guys, and it was they were so dramatically upset with everything, with working, with their kids, with going to the soccer games, with all this stuff. I mean, it was really hard to watch. And even at the end, when they finally turned around and saw a little glimpse of joy here or there, it was like, no, that still isn't any good. Because that's just not the way it's supposed to be. I just want to tell you guys, don't be like the world. Don't let the movies program you. They're stupid. You want entertainment? Get entertainment. But don't let them become your teaching tools. Oh my goodness! Because it says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Yummy, yummy. That's a good thing. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Now, how many of you can say, every day I'm happy when I go to work, and every day I am well, and every day I'm blessed? That's a tough one. I'm not going to fault you for it, but that is a tough one. But nonetheless, you have to look and see, well, which horse am I riding on? Am I on the world's horse? And it is hard. I can barely hold on. As he goes down the track and I look over, this guy just rides so well on that other horse and I wish I was him. Get on the other horse, okay? Come on. Come on. There's some verses in the New Testament that says, wake up! Awake thou that sleepest, it says. Folks, sometimes you just have to kick yourself where it hurts. Wake up. Just wake up. You wake up. When and where you have trouble, you're not supposed to have that kind of trouble. Wake up. Get on the other horse, the spiritual life. I love it. I just love it. Proverbs chapter 10. Well, God made sure that His people were going to be blessed, but the people have to do their part. Even though they have to work because of Adam and Eve. There is a certain satisfaction you receive for doing a job well done. God saw to that. Proverbs 10, verse 16. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. The fruit of the wicked to sin. Woo! Man, we could make movies on that. We got the good guy and the bad guy. We got the good results and the bad results. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. Now, that's the right horse, right? Yes. That means that in my work, in my attitude toward work, and in my living in this world of labor, I should have life. John 10:10 says, the part that we're interested in, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The labor of the righteous to life. There you have it. Proverbs chapter 13. Verse 11. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. But he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Oh, another movie. We got the guy over here that's just empty by vanity. And he's trying to get his wealth. And he gets some more. And then he calls up and he says, excuse me, money manager. Why is my wealth diminishing? Where's it going? I never can seem to hold on to have enough. And then he's galloping down on his horse, you know, calling the guy on the cell phone. Where's my money? And then you got this other guy. He's on the other horse. But he that gathereth by labor shall increase. And the spiritual guy over here, he's just working. And it's just increasing and increasing and increasing. Say, he knows how to ride that horse, huh? That's how you got to be. God's way. Let's not be ignorant of this benefit of work. If you work, you shall see increase, whereas wealth gotten by any other way shall diminish. That's right. You get it by work. Then you put it in the blank. What can you do that would be vain work? Let's put work in quotes there. Vain actions or something. Oh, there's a lot of things out there. It was in that movie last night again. I won't get into it. It's just kind of funny, you know, because you got people plagued with this kind of stuff. They get addicted to certain things money-wise, and then they think that that's working. It's not working. You want to know why you don't have increases? Because you're not laboring the right way. Get on the right horse. Why is this important? Because we have spiritual laws at play here. Don't ever lose sight of that. Work is not just a five senses thing. It's not. It's spiritual as well. And there have always been two sides to work. The carnal side, the five senses. Oh, my back hurts! And the spiritual side. Work heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. It pays to understand the spiritual. That was a good one, Jerry. It pays, right? Okay. After all, it is truly why we work. The spiritual reason. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. I'm only going to give you a couple seconds to get to it, and then I'm going to read the verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 8. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. There's just too many things to cover here. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. But all things are full of labor. That's the way it is now, folks. The labor of the world is unsatisfying. No, we're on the world horse, okay? The carnal horse. The labor for God is just the opposite. It's wonderful and satisfying. That's the good horse. God made it so that you can find labor in everything. Think about this for a minute. Labor in everything. All things are full of labor. This is why I believe that anybody can be happy in work. Because you can find something that interests you because all things are full of labor. It's all there. Anybody can find something that they like. So when I try to help my kids, well, what would you like? Well, I don't know. Don't you have any interests? I don't know. Don't you have any passions? I don't know. Or talking to friends at work. Isn't there something that I don't think I'm happy with my work? Well, isn't there something that you like? I don't know. I've never really liked anything. That guy's on the wrong horse. And he's going too fast. Okay? Get him over on the right horse and say, hey, all things are full of labor. Pick something that you do like. And by the way, there is something that you do like. Well, Jesus addressed this in Matthew chapter 11. You see, the greatest men of God that this world has ever seen understood and understand that there were spiritual laws at play. And that's how they teach. That's how they taught. That's what they use. And that's how you can get under somebody's skin, so to speak. That's how you can get down to the joints and marrow. Because if you're going to help somebody, let's say somebody that has a problem with work, that's one out of a million, but let's just say that today. You got to get to the root cause of their problem. What is it that they do like, don't like, causing the problem and so forth? What's the cause? You got to get under the skin, and you can only do that if you understand the spiritual laws. In fact, you shouldn't even open your mouth until you figure it out. Go for the root cause only and use spiritual laws. Don't just use your five senses. Because that could definitely mislead you. And if you don't believe me, go stand on the railroad tracks and look down and tell me if they don't come together. But now walk down there. Five senses misled you. Sorry. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Heavy laden means loaded up. It's only one Greek word. Loaded up. Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavily loaded, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, don't you love that? Maybe the last time you read that was in the Grace of Giving. Or maybe the last time you heard it was in a teaching on charity, because that's the word for kind. My yoke is easy. It means useful. If you don't understand the spiritual side of work, you will either become poor and miserable, or you'll become heavy laden. That is, if you don't understand the spiritual side. In other words, you're on that world horse working away, and you don't understand it. Okay? You don't understand the spiritual side at all. You're just working. You get up at 7. You barely make it into work on time. You get home and you barely. And I mean, it's tough to get on that couch. And then the next day is the same. That's the world side of things, okay? There's no spirituality to that at all. But on the spiritual side, there's other profits. There's other benefits. So if you're on the worldly side, either you're poor and miserable or you're just heavily laden. And so if you're tempted or in the middle of those kind of passions and feelings, you better take a look at the horse you're riding. Sure, you might end up having enough material and financial things, and there's millions that do. They're in all the movies, aren't they? But you will eventually run into this heavy laden thing. The heavy laden. Oh, it hurts. It's so heavy. It's just there, folks. That's the wrong horse to be on. Well, this highlights the fact that work does have a spiritual side. Yes. Why? Because of what Jesus said right after that. And I will give you rest. He's not standing in front of you right now. You can't see his body. But if he's going to do this, how's it going to happen? Spiritually. So work has a spiritual side. Only the rest of Jesus Christ will remove the weight of the heavy burden. He goes on to give more detailed instructions for turning unto his ways. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Whew. Oh, I love it. It feels so good. Oh, man, my friends are going to have a tough time with this, because when I start telling them why I feel good and they feel bad in the same job, they're going to think I'm nuts. Okay. I'll go for that. I'll pay that price. For turning to his ways, he said he's meek and lowly in heart. And because of this, people coming to him will find rest. That doesn't sound very sophisticated. Or rich. Or affluent. Or, well, anything like the movie stars have. But that's what he said. There must be something spiritual here. The ultimate reason that Jesus Christ can solve this problem is due to the fact that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. That's the spiritual side. There are two sides to rest in this verse, the physical and the spiritual. Well, to rest physically, it's like maybe what you want to be doing right now. Wives, you know that one, don't you? From old hubbies? Yeah. Sleeping. Couch potatoing it. You know, taking it easy physically. Walking down easy street. That is the physical side. But that is not the spiritual side. The spiritual side is so different. It doesn't compare. And now's the time when the spiritual horse on our racetrack of two takes off and leaves the world in the dust. Yeah, you got to be spiritual, folks. If you want to handle the sorrows and the labors of life that were plagued upon mankind, you've got to do it God's way. Jesus Christ was delivered into this world to give you a way out of that pain and misery. But you'll never see it if you don't look at it with spiritual eyes. You can just forget it. You can go to your 8-to-5 and be poor and miserable, or you can go to your 8-to-5 and be heavy laden. Take your pick and have fun. But if you understand that there is a spiritual side and you start looking at it right now, you're going to get delivered. And you're going to have such a great time in life. And I know the one problem, if you have any problem at all in seeing this whole thing through spiritual eyes, is because of pride. You've lived in the world for how many years? And now some spunky guy is going to tell you how to do it right? Ah! It's called worldly pride. You learn this, and you're going to rise above it all. I don't care who you're dealing with at work. It doesn't matter. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. So now that you're committed to learning the spiritual side, you know there's two. And now that you know to rest spiritually is so totally different than the physical stuff, that your horse has taken off so far ahead and so quickly that you're just trying to hang on right now because it's pretty exciting. You need to see what it says in 1 Corinthians. Jesus was teaching His followers about what was to come. Of course He's not here right now. And of course He knew He wasn't going to be soon after He told those guys that. Come on, figure it out, think about it. In just a few short weeks, Jesus was gone. Take my yoke upon you. I will give you rest. What? You ain't going to be here. He was teaching about something yet to come, and you live in that now. So for you to not partake of that is like slapping Him in the face. You got to get real. That's why you got to wake up. That's why you got to say, world, whoa. Every time it comes after you. And the only reason you wouldn't do that is because you're either lazy or you're prideful. You say, I'm not letting that skinny twerp tell me that. Or that, whatever you want to call him. I'm not saying I'm skinny. I just wanted to use that, okay? I'm not letting somebody tell me that. They don't understand my problems. And I know that he doesn't know my boss.
Physical side, spiritual side.
He doesn't know how hard it is for me to get out of bed. And he doesn't know how hard it is for me to get back in that couch at night. How can he say that stuff?
Well,
you understand that Jesus was teaching about something that was coming. And you understand that you're here now with that came. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 17. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Archippus. For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. I don't know if you realize what you just read, and you're probably thinking, huh? You know how you kind of go boring when certain things come up, and maybe your mind just went boring when you saw that verse, because it's like, okay. But I thought we were talking about labor and all that. I thought we were talking about being on the spiritual side and all that. I thought we were talking about a fast horse. Well, that word refreshed is the same word as rest. That is the spiritual of sleeping. That is the spiritual of the physical couch potatoing it. That is the spiritual of the relax and walk down easy street. It's called refreshment. And it's always spiritual in nature. And so we find that whatever these guys did, they supplied something and it caused Paul's spirit and the Corinthian believers to be refreshed. And he said, acknowledge them that are such. Man, when you have somebody come along that whatever they do, by supplying something, and it causes you to feel so good, full of joy and comfort, that's coming up, acknowledge them. Most people don't acknowledge anybody anymore. They just want all the attention themselves. To me, oh Lord, nobody else is even here, so just give it all to me. 2 Corinthians verse 7. Verse 13. Therefore we were comforted in your comfort. Yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. Wow. His spirit was refreshed by you all. We were comforted in your comfort. And exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus. Come on, there's something that doesn't sound quite right here, but I want it. Work. Rest. And then all of a sudden we see comfort and exceeding joy. And a refreshed spirit? Hey, folks, it can't get any better than this. This is all the spiritual side of dealing with the labor part that you were plagued with upon birth. You got to know how to deal with it. You don't know how to deal with it, you got problems. Just like if you don't forgive people, you got problems with sorrow. Here you are one day living your life and doing just fine, and along comes Joe Believer, who just happens to refresh your spirit. Well, this refreshing is directly tied to acts done by believers for believers. In 1 Corinthians 16, 17, which we read just a minute ago, Stephanas and Fortunatus and Archippus supplied things that were lacking in Paul's life. And this refreshed both Paul and the others. Whatever those things were. Whatever they were. It doesn't matter. That's the point. As long as they're godly. There was a lack, And the supply provided filled in that lack and made everyone feel great. Okay? Of course, it's understood that everyone wasn't feeling great. Okay? Then in 2 Corinthians 7:13, because Titus was received by the Corinthian believers, Titus had joy, but what did Paul have? And what did the others have? Exceeding joy, it said, because of this news. What was supplied? Comfort to Titus. That's what was supplied. Oh, that's just real hard, isn't it? Comfort somebody? You see, the supply part doesn't have to be physical or material. It can also be spiritually based. Philemon. Let's go to Philemon. I want this to be one of these milestones in your life, these defining moments. I don't want you to have the pressures of the world anymore. I don't even want you to pray about the pressures of the world. I want you to live the more than abundant life. I want you to act like you have that more than abundant life. I want you to be like Christ. I want you to show yourself like Christ to people, even in your jobs, even in any kind of work you have. It doesn't matter. You should always have a smile. Oh, I know there's times when you don't feel this way or that way and you wish you felt a little bit better. And okay, fine. We're not talking about that. You can still cut through the mustard. You can still do what you got to do. Do it. Just don't worry about it. You don't have any prices to pay. It's all been paid for. Just get out there and do what God said to do. You might not even like doing it sometimes, but just get out there and do what God said to do. You know, you guys know that I have a trainer for soccer. And I have a particular handicap, which just happens to be my mind doesn't connect to my feet. And so he said, we're practicing kicks, and I'm right-handed, right-footed, and he said, you know, you always have to get the right one in. I'm going, that's not even funny. He goes, no, always get it in. Please, because I'd be missing with the right and the left. I've only been practicing this for 30 years, okay? Still can't hit the goal. No, just kidding. More like 40 years. Okay, still kidding. The point is, it's okay to say something that wakes you up. I didn't want him to say that to me. You always got to get it with the right foot. Duh. Duh. I didn't know how to say that in Spanish. The guy's from Bolivia. La duh. I didn't know what to say. No. I know it wasn't buena hue. That's what we say when we make goals in the soccer field, because the Spanish guys out there, buena hue! Mal hue? I don't know. Oh, man. I didn't like hearing that, and maybe you don't like hearing this. I don't know. I just don't know. But sometimes it's good to get the wake-up call. Hello! It says, wake up! So wake up! What's wrong with it? Quit being so unconfident. You're a spiritual woman. You're a spiritual man. You can do what God's called you to do. Just do it! Wake up! Please. Bueno, who is? Philemon chapter 1, it's all chapter 1, verse 7. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. I love this verse. The bowels, which means the innermost feelings of the believers, the saints, are refreshed by thee. I never met him, but I hope I get to. He sounds cool. Philemon refreshed the believers. He's the brother in verse 7. Look at verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Well, this brother, Philemon, was dearly beloved and a fellow laborer. Wow. This guy worked, and he worked hard. Nobody in this room has a verse just for them that says, and Jerry was a fellow laborer. Jerry worked, yeah. But I didn't get the acclaim that he did, ever. The word of God liveth and abideth forever. Oh, Philemon's got it, man. Not bad. But aside from this, what was it that Philemon was so good at? That in verse 7, because the innermost feelings of the saints are refreshed. They got rest. That's what it means, rest. The rest that Jesus Christ said. And I will give thee rest. Same word. What was it about him? Hey, maybe we could bottle it. Sell it. I don't know. Telling you, it's work. Verse 5. Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Oh, man. I want to meet him. I will. I will meet him. Love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Wow. It was his love and believing that he had to the saints and to the Lord Jesus Christ. So this man was a spiritual man. He was on that, the horse on the right, okay? It's on the right for me. I don't know where you put him. The one that's gone now. Dust hadn't even settled. Isn't it interesting how a truly spiritual man will comfort people just by his presence? Well, that's why. The spiritual law of refreshment is fantastic. It yields such great results that you often don't even know when you get hit by it. It's just wonderful. And then you realize, wow, this is cool. I'm feeling pretty good now. Thanks for coming by, you know. Verse 6 says, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ. We did see that word acknowledge people, that refresh people. Remember that earlier? Now it's coming up again. What Paul is doing is the mark of a true leader. Paul wanted Philemon's comfort-giving ability to spread abroad, to become effectual. And the way for him to do this was by acknowledging every good Christian thing that that man did. That's what he did. It's very interesting, don't you think? At times I go to great lengths to do this with people, because to me it's so significant. It's just a natural thing. I don't know if it's a natural thing with you. Honestly, most people don't take the time to build others up. All they do is think about themselves. Their woes, their worries, their this, their that, and forget about the next guy, right? You know what it's like. You're standing there going, didn't you hear me, what I just said? I just won the lottery, and you're still talking about how you can't go to the bathroom or something? It's like, come on! And the reason for this? They don't understand the spiritual ripple effects of such a great spiritual act. This is doing what God says to do. Acknowledge. Paul shared Philemon's believing fully by doing this. He made sure others heard of Philemon and benefited from him by how he acknowledged him. Now, isn't that cool? It's no small wonder that the bowels, which means the innermost feelings, were refreshed by a man that many might never have met. Nonetheless, they all experience great joy and comfort by him. Well, are there other ways to bring about this refreshing? Sure. What about in verse 20? Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Can you imagine talking to somebody like this today? Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Hey, man, can you refresh me a little bit? I'm not going to say anything. I just want you to refresh me. Okay? Look, I'm here. I got a need. Refresh me. And they're just standing there like a deer in the headlights. What? I don't know. I just want to talk about myself. Why you? Wake up! Having confidence in thy obedience. Oh, can you imagine? You go up to this guy, I refresh me. And then you say, I know you're going to be obedient. I know you're going to refresh me. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. And then you say, I want more. And he's standing there, and now there's like four or five headlights. And you just turn around and walk away, because you know it's not going to happen. Oh, how depressing! Wake up, people! Well, we're still in Philemon. This time we're looking at what Paul said after he asked Philemon to handle that servant. What did Paul say? Knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Having confidence in thy obedience? Well, that's spectacular. I can only begin to imagine what would happen if I started doing that today. What about you? People don't even know what to expect anymore. But more than likely, I will be met with resistance. More than likely, you too will be met with resistance. When you go up to somebody and say, I need refreshing. You've got the godly right to do so. And then you see the headlights. Resistance, it's called. Yes, it's a shame. And after hearing the word of God, it's a shame on the person. Shame on you. I think we've got the right, don't we? Don't you think we have the right to wake up and say, yes, this is the word of God. Hello. Yep. I think so. It's called resistance. Today's believers have a worldly pride that I don't think came up back then. I just don't. We're self-made. We don't need anybody. Hey, it's part of the pain of the world. I'm not faulting you. I'm just telling you what it's like. If you can figure this stuff out and get a good perspective on it, you can deal with it better. That's all. But I'm not trying to beat you up. Doggone it, there's not too many ways to say this stuff. Well, maybe it did, but not between Paul and Philemon. At least not to the extent that it does today. But if it did, Paul did his best to shoot it down. We're talking about resistance. To bring rest to another's soul. Paul did his best to shoot it down with the revelation given to him by God. He even told Philemon how to manage his apprehensions and misgivings and even outright resistance to Paul's guidance. What a loving man. What a loving God. Verse 22. But withal, prepare me also a lodging. For I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you.
Oh, wow.
Man, that's like somebody giving you a bucket of peanut M&Ms. All kinds of colors. Where do I start? For I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. Who's getting the M&Ms here? Paul or Philemon or both? Wow. He said, through your prayers. Well, this certainly puts the responsibility of managing worldly pride and resistance to God's guidance on the one receiving the instruction. Doesn't it? Yes. Everybody say yes. This stuff is so great, folks. It's just life-changing. I want this to be a defining moment in your lives. I never want you to be the same as you were this morning. I want you to be changed, to be redefined. Pray that I shall be given unto you. Man, oh man, how fantastic. Pray that I shall be given unto you. If there's going to be any refreshing, a lot of things have to be going on. It's not just so straightforward that you walk in and say, refresh me. Okay. There's just a lot of stuff here. Okay. But the spiritual laws line it up. Keep you on that horse at the right speed in the right direction. While the people might be fantastic believers, there still might be some things hampering true spiritual movement. And isn't that what we're concerned about? You don't want to be just fat, dumb, and happy. You want to be fat, dumb, and moving along on that horse. Well, smart, I guess. Maybe not fat either. I don't know. But if there's no true spiritual movement, you've got problems, which means you have resistance. If there's something hampering this discourse, this Paul Philemon discourse thing, the refreshing and so forth, it is the one in question's responsibility to pray. You mean not the leader? Not the one that brought it up? Not the one that so deliberately and desperately tries to help? That's right. Oh, they can pray too. They always do. They probably are. That's how you can lighten the load on another whose well-meaning attempts to help you from continuously getting thwarted so that the refreshing doesn't come through. I mean, who wouldn't want refreshing? It's up to the individual needing to receive to pray. To pray about the color of the sky. To pray about every person in the world. To pray about your next door neighbor. You're getting close. Come on in. To pray about you and the issue that's stopping the discourse, the thwarting, the one that's the wall, the pride. If the person isn't praying, there's little to no spiritual movement in his or her life. He or she is supposed to pray for that specific issue, the one causing the problem in the first place. Imagine that, for somebody to actually admit they got a problem. I told you that my brain doesn't connect with my feet very well at all. I admitted it. And he said that out there yesterday.
You got to hit with your right foot. I mean, come on. Get the goal with your right foot at least. It's okay if you miss with the left. Oh, man.
2 Peter chapter 4. Can you imagine admitting where the problem is? And then saying, God, I need help with this. I need help with this. 1 Peter chapter 4. Now we're going to write a new chapter.
Yeah.
Becky. Put that pen away. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Oh, but Jerry, I want to think it's strange. Nope. Wake up. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. And you will be. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. And their part, on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. The Spirit of glory and of God resteth. Resteth is the word for refreshed. It's on you. It's in you. This spirit of refreshing. Oh, gosh. There's just, oh, man. This is so fantastic because of what God has done for us. I don't know what else you could say. It's just amazing. Amazing. So you know that resteth means refreshing. Ladies and gentlemen, for the sheer fact that you have the Spirit of God in you, you have refreshing directly from Him now. For you to live otherwise, you're living in a fool's paradise. You fooled yourself. So you must be good. But that's not right. It's just not right. If you don't realize what God's given you, you, in my humble opinion, are too encumbered with the things of the world. Learn to back off from your work enough so that you can once again touch the joy and comfort of God. He's been touching you all along. You're the problem, not God. If you are out of touch with Him, get back in touch now. Get refreshed. It will bring to you nothing short of God's glory. In Proverbs chapter 21, it says in verse 25, and I just love this verse. This is kind of like fuel for the horse's gas tank. Proverbs 21, verse 25, the desire of the slothful killeth him. That would be the lazy guy. For his hands refuse to work. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. Again, I love this. So what do I say to you? Yes, you have to work. Do so with this in mind. Give and spare not. That's when you're going to see this refreshing come. Because if everybody's doing this, then there's none of that resistance. But Jesus promised the rest. But now it's up to us to bring it into manifestation. Okay? Thank you.